The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter. Jesus was drawing near to Jerusalem for the last time and is teaching the people about life in the kingdom of God. Zacchaeus, in a supreme example of repentance and gratitude, pays back many times what would have been required of him. The Gospel reading. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. All right, well, good morning, boys and girls out there in internet land, and for all of you boys and girls out here today. It's good to be with you. As I've said earlier, today we're going to be talking about the word joy. This week and the next 2 weeks, we'll be talking to the adults about the joy of receiving, managing, and sharing God's blessings. We can take the letters of the word joy here to help us remember something very important. The J in joy can stand for Jesus. The O can stand for others. And the Y for you. When you put Jesus and others first before yourself, you will discover joy. Joy is like being happy, but it's much more. We can be happy, for instance, at times throughout the day. For example, I bet that you're happy when your mom makes your favorite meal, or when you get to watch TV. Or when your friends treat you nicely. These things can bring happiness. But when the meal is eaten and the TV is turned off and your friends hurt your feelings, you don't feel as happy as you did before. Joy, on the other hand, stays. You have joy because you know your mom and dad love you no matter what. You have joy because you know that Jesus is always with you and is always for you. Another way to experience joy is to do something nice for others. If you spend time with someone who appears lonely, or help someone with their homework, or maybe share some of your snacks with another boy or girl, God will give you a special feeling. And that is joy. So thank you for tuning in this morning and for sharing this message about joy. Let's pray. Thank you for the joy that you give us, because we know that you love us and want the best for us. Thank you for watching over us and protecting us, and especially for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, dear friends, grace, God's grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So I base today's sermon on a verse from the fourth chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, which Roxy read for you a few moments ago. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you do not receive it? We'll get into that more in just a moment, but I want to take a few minutes to discuss what we will be hearing here at church over the next 3 weeks during our emphasis, experiencing the joy of generosity. The weeks are broken up into three separate aspects of stewardship. This week, I will be talking about the joy of receiving God's blessings. Next week, we'll consider the joy of managing God's blessings. And then on week three, Commitment Sunday, we will learn more about the joy of sharing God's blessings. Joy, joy, joy. There's a lot of joy coming in the next 3 weeks. So let's take a moment and make sure that we understand fully what that joy is. Now, many of us consider joy and happiness as the same, or at least very similar. And at the surface, that may seem correct, but I think you'll see that if we compare joy and happiness, we'll learn about some significant differences. Happiness is an emotion which one experiences feelings ranging from contentment and satisfaction to bliss and intense pleasure. Joy is stronger but less common than happiness. Happiness comes from earthly experiences and material objects. Joy comes from spiritual experiences, caring for others, gratitude, and thankfulness. Happiness shows itself in a person through an outward expression of elation. Joy shows itself in the person through inward peace and contentment. Happiness is more temporary based on outward circumstances. Joy is lasting based on inward circumstances. There's a wonderful quote in the devotions that you received last week in preparation for this sermon this morning. And if you did not take advantage of looking at them, please do so during the next 2 weeks so that your heart and mind will be prepared for the sermons to come. The quote is from Epicurus, the Greek philosopher, and it states, "If you want to make a person happy, add not to their riches, but take away from their desires." Add not to their riches, but take away from their desires. Well, I'm going to modify what Epicurus said to this. If you want to make a person happy for a short time, add to their riches. But if you want to make a person joyful, content, and at peace, take away from their desires. So you see, there are some similarities between happiness and joy, but there's also some significant differences. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, but happiness is not. Joy is present even in sorrow, but we cannot be happy when we are full of sorrow. Happiness is being elated, and you cannot be elated in sorrow. On the other hand, joy is having peace and contentment, and we can be at peace and content even in sorrow. So I want you to hold on to that thought because we'll come back to it later. Now, let me return you to the text today from 1 Corinthians. The letter to the Corinthians was written by Paul as he was addressing practical issues that the church was dealing with. They had many issues that were going on: lack of unity, issues with marriage, and idolatry, to name just a few. Sound familiar, maybe, doesn't it? Today, we still deal with those same issues of sin that the church in Corinth wrestled with. But there's another issue that Paul speaks to in Corinthians regarding their practice of communion and how they had turned this wonderful sacrament, this wonderful means of God's grace, into basically a drunken party with segregation based on a person's economic status. They did not know how to receive simply, humbly, and joyfully this gift God was giving them in the Holy Supper. And Paul doesn't mince any words when he points this out to them. He asks, "For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it?" Tough words. And these words are not only for the Corinthians, but my friends, they apply to the world today. The world today is great at seeking and receiving happiness, especially when that comes in the form of material riches. But the world today is not very good at receiving blessings with joy, especially those blessings that remove desires rather than build wealth. Now, an important aspect of worship that we often misunderstand is that worship is more about us receiving than giving. Receiving God's gifts, receiving His blessings, and His means of grace. Earlier today, you received God's forgiveness in the absolution that was spoken for you. As I speak to you now, you are receiving God's word. And in a few minutes, you will receive His very self in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Please be aware of this and what you are receiving. So too, when it comes to stewardship, if we are honest with ourselves, we often cringe when the annual stewardship emphasis is upon us. We think that, well, now here come those sermons on how we should give our time and talents, and especially our money, to God. But as I've shared with you over the couple of years that I have been with you, that is not what stewardship is. Stewardship begins and ends with our realizing what God has given us and our need to return thanks for what we receive and the joy and peace and contentment that comes from that. "For God so loved the world that He gave." He gave, not we gave, that He gave His one and only Son to die for us. Realizing what God has given to us is the source of our joy. But it doesn't mean that we will always be happy. And that's an important fact for us to realize. Remember that we said earlier, you cannot be happy when you're sorrowful, but you can have joy even in sorrow. Sometimes our church experiences sorrowful times. Consider funerals as opposed to baptism. A baptism, of course, is a joyful event. Funeral days are definitely not happy times. But they can be joyful times, because even in the sorrow of saying goodbye to a loved one, there is joy, contentment, and peace in knowing what Christ has given them, everlasting life with him. Some time ago, two news stories appeared side by side. They had huge similarities, just like happiness and joy, but also some stark differences. The stories were about two young women who both were suffering with inoperable brain tumors. One of them, Brittany Maynard, had recently been married when she received her diagnosis. So she and her husband moved to Oregon, where there is a death with dignity law. Not long after that, Brittany took some pills that her doctor had prescribed for her so that she would die, and she did. The story next to that one was of Lauren Hill, also a young lady diagnosed with a brain tumor who was just entering college. On the same day Brittany died, Lauren played in her first and also her last college basketball game, which she organized to serve as a fundraiser and to build awareness for cancer research. The game was televised on national TV, received a lot of press, and raised significant funds for research. Now, hearing about both of these stories, the words of our text may echo in our ears. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? I think we can see something different in Lauren Hill. And we can see in her someone who realized the gift that she had received and was a joyful steward of that gift. One last comment I would like to make, and this one is pointed squarely at me. Sometimes I, as a preacher, need to remember the gift that we all have received, and that gift is the gospel. The salvation that we have through Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross, and his resurrection from the grave. So I'd like to end this sermon with words that St. Paul wrote near the end of 1 Corinthians and point you to the cross of Christ. When you come forward in a few minutes to participate in that foretaste of the feast to come, be aware of the grace-filled gift that is being given to you. A gift that you are literally receiving in the shadow of the cross where Christ died for you and for me. St. Paul writes, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And in the name of Christ, I say, Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as you are able, and let's join in singing our hymn of the day.